Today's shiur begins immediately upon our return from Eretz Yisrael this afternoon, and it is fitting that we give some kind of a report on the condition in Eretz Yisrael today. Today means the week before Hanukkah, Shnas Tavshin Lamed Hei. You mentioned that Israel itself, the entire country, is in peril, a danger that comes not from its neighbors only, but from the world community. The United Nations that have all combined in a concentrated effort not to decrease the size of Israel, but even to the extent of Chas V'Shalom removing Israel as a state from the map. Chas V'Shalom to give it to the Palestinians, Yimach Shemon V'Zichron. On this point, it pays to remember. Go back a moment and let's look at this in a true light, in truth only, in truth. It started mainly in 67, the War of 67, the Six-Day War, when Israel enjoyed an unprecedented victory over all the Arab countries and in so short a period of time conquered more land than we could practically ever find in history of any wars. We said once that the United States, the great, powerful United States, with its vast military resources, 10 years, so long a period of time, Vietnam covered with so much, covered so little ground, accomplished so little. Here, Lahavdil, Eretz Yisrael, with so little resources, covered so much, took so much territory, additional territory, and in so many different places, against such seemingly insurmountable odds. Now, how was that done? At this point, let's take the true light. The truth of the matter was that this was an act of Hashem. It was not an act of heroism on the part of a small army. Same as in the time of Hanukkah, we're celebrating Hanukkah soon. The miracle of Hanukkah was, that the many fell into the hands of the few. The Greeks, which had so large an army, were defeated by a handful of Jews, of Israelis. Same thing occurred in 67, when so vast opposition, united forces of all these surrounding countries that faced Israel in the battlefield were soundly defeated, and Israel enjoyed the gains of so much additional territory. But due to the same type of miracle, meaning it was an act of Hashem. In one word, it was Hashem who gave us this land, both in 67 and the original parcel of land in 1948. These were two gifts given to us by Hashem. Let's be honest and recognize this as a gift. We don't know if we deserved it or if our efforts helped, but we do know for certain that it was an act of Hashem as a matana. Matnas chinam, or whatever it was, but a matana it was. It was a gift. Now, we are faced now with the very unpleasant prospect of having to return part of this land to our enemies. Return the West Bank of the Jordan. There are so many large cities involved. Cities of Shechem, famous historical cities. Cities of Yericho, city of Hebron. Which means that from here on, the Cave of Four Couples and the Yeruvim will be close to us, Chas V'Shalom. In addition to returning much more land than just that, all this land on this side of the Yarden, which is definitely part of Eretz Yisrael. And it seems as though this is inevitable, because what's going on now in the confrontation between tiny Israel and the rest of the world seems that there's no alternative but to surrender this land. The question is only whom to give it back to, the Jordan or to the Palestinians, Yimach Shemon. At this point, we must remember one thing. Who is going to give it back? It's not the question, as they think, to whom it will be given. The question is going to be who will give it back. You cannot give something that does not belong to you, that is not yours. So, we find, very fittingly, parallel to this, the Gemara says that Rechnina Mendesa was the Tzaddik Emes of his time, and his Sechus, his merit, the entire world was provided with Parnassah. The entire world received its nourishment, its Parnassah, its livelihood, due to his mitzvahs. The Gemara says that despite this, He himself was in a state of extreme poverty. He had a plate of soup that lasted for a full week. He did not have enough to provide himself with simple, basic food. And his wife pressed him to this point. His wife, who had the true Amuna in her husband, Amuna B'Tzadik, said to him, knowing that you are a Tzadik, your tefillahs are so effective, why don't you pray for yourself too? You pray for the whole world, and you do a pretty good job of it. Well, if you can provide the untold amount that's necessary, think of how much gold it takes to nourish, feed a whole world, how about a little drop of gold for yourself too, that we could live as normal people? We have enough to buy food with. Pray for yourself also. He was very modest and agreed. His wife requested it. He agreed. He davened. And the Gemara says that the next day, a hand, Kaviyachol, came from heaven and presented him with a long bar of gold in the shape of the leg of a table. This meant they were now wealthy, rich for life. They could really live. They're not going to use that money to buy a fancy car or luxuries, but they would be able to live without having to worry about where the next bit of bread will come from. That night, they dreamed simultaneously that they were in Gan Eden, and the table they were sitting at was lacking one leg. The next day, they related their dream to each other, and they realized this meant that his tefillah had affected a withdrawal from the Bank of Heaven. They had in the Bank of Heaven deposited enough to last them forever to sit at a table made of four gold legs. This, of course, does not mean that literally, but it meant they'd have a secure place in Gan Eden, and they were withdrawing part of that Gan Eden for themselves. So his wife said to Rabbi Chaim ben Deisa, if that's the case, I don't want it. I would rather be poor here. It's a very temporary life. Be poor now, and to know we can be rich with the knowledge that we have it to look forward to. We have eternal life of real security, wealth, spiritual wealth in Gan Eden forever. And so therefore, he said to him, return this table leg. So he set about, he davened again. A hand came from heaven and withdrew this leg, returning it back to heaven. The Gemara says, we witnessed two miracles that were performed, the greatness of Chaim ben Deisa. The Gemara says, these miracles could be done by most tzaddikim. One of them could be done. One, to pray for a miracle that Hashem should help a person that many tzaddikim can do. What was the first miracle? He asked for a gift from heaven. And this was granted. He was given a lot of wealth. The second miracle he prayed for was to take back that gift. Now this, the Gemara says, is not done. Because the policy of heaven is to give, not to retrieve, not to take back. Heaven gives. Heaven is not an Indian giver. Once it is given, it's permanent. They do not take back. Except in the case of Chaim ben Deisa, who was so great at tzaddik that he actually forced the breaking of the rules of heaven. Therefore, we have definitely established that Eretz Yisrael, the land we have today, as ours, is not due to any act on our part. It's not due to any of the heroic efforts of Israeli soldiers. True, they were heroes. True, they were very loyal to a cause. True, they deserved the greatest credit possible. But they could not have won a battle of this type under normal circumstances. The miracle was that Hashem granted us a gift. Hashem gave us this gift, part of it in 48, part of it in 67. Gave us a gift of our land, Eretz Yisrael, a gift that we deserve because Hashem had promised that it would be ours. Now the time comes for the demand on the part of our enemies for part of this land. Only one that can give this back is the one that gave it in the first place. Hashem gave it to us. It's up to Hashem to give it, to take it back and give it to the Arabs. This is not the policy of heaven. We have received Eretz Yisrael as a gift. There's no taking it back from heaven. So no matter how the nations of the world, one-sided nations, all on the side of the Arabs, can rave and rant at Israel, at tiny Israel, and scream and use their prowess and threats against Eretz Yisrael, there's no way that they can threaten heaven, that they can force heaven to change its policies. The Arab nations are not anywhere as chas v'shalom comparable to the koyach av habichlina ben Deisa. They cannot affect the change of policy in heaven. So this gift given to us by Hashem will remain a permanent one. Hashem has given it to us. Hashem will not take it back. And we should have this pure, simple emunah in Hashem that Eretz Yisrael is ours and shall remain so everlastingly. The time is now, the Zman of Bias HaMashiach. This is the Aschalta de Geula, the beginning of the Geula. It's in a process. Part of the process we in our time have witnessed. The culmination, the completion, we shall see with our eyes now. But the completion will be the destruction of the Sinai Yisrael and the supplementing, complementing, completing the territory that is originally Eretz Yisrael and that is legally ours. This we should see, b'konev, b'heda, with our eyes, becoming of Mashiach and the Simcha Klolius that will come with the Geula Shlema. This is a brief report on Eretz Yisrael, and we hope that could inspire enough people to attempt, truly attempt, and every effort to get to Eretz Yisrael. Those who are not Zecha yet, take the Dalet Amos, the four steps in Eretz Yisrael, should leave no stone unturned. If it requires sacrifice, make the sacrifice. If it requires financial effort, do it, because naturally it is worth it, and naturally you'll be on a better plane, on a higher madrega, to welcome the coming of Mashiach, if you'll be able to say, take me back to the land where I was, land where I came from. Everyone should see to it. He should be. Rabbeinu Zal says that a Jew is not complete, not a Yisraeli, until he has fulfilled that dream of walking the Dalet Amos in Eretz Yisrael.